Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. Hate to break up all the fun, but 2 Timothy 3. And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your love for us and your goodness, your long suffering. We just thank you for how you meet all of our needs and way beyond. Thank you for the privileges to be here this morning. And do pray, Lord, that we would humble ourselves, Lord, that we might receive from your word what we need, Lord, to be steadfast, to be faithful. And Father, that we would just be encouraged, Lord, to keep on for you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. As we read down through that list, it's kind of depressing. That's what we're in the midst of right now. And it's not as if there's any kind of a doubt that perilous, dangerous times are upon us. It's exactly what it is right now. It's not just dangerous as far as crime goes, but it's dangerous spiritually. Very dangerous times. And it really starts there in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that's where it all starts. That's where it really all starts, because men love themselves. They don't love God. They don't love truth. They love themselves. And you know, our culture just contributes to that. And it just makes it more and more prevalent, prominent, prosperous. All a bunch of P words there, but our culture just fuels all that for people to think about themselves. I mean, the have it your way was Burger King's whatever for a long time, wasn't it? And that's what people believe about their life. That's what people believe about religion. That's what people believe about how they're going to get to heaven. And it's kind of interesting. I know I bring up the sheriff's camp regularly, but to talk to those guys out there, that's what they really think. This Thursday, I think it was 5 guys out, which is fantastic. You know, one's fantastic. But, you know, just about got all done with everything. And the way we finished was we talked a little bit about hell, about how hell's a real place. There's real fire. It's a place of torment. And the guy hadn't said anything the whole time. He says, well, I think, I'm like, uh-oh, what's he going to say? Well, then he proceeded to say that hell really isn't a real place, because in a movie he saw, it was just like a state of mind, or I'm not sure exactly the way he described it, but because of this movie. And I tried to be as gracious as possible. And I said, well, you know, each of us has a decision, or I don't know what exactly I said, but something to this effect. Each of us has a choice to make what we're going to put our authority in. Each of us can choose for ourselves. You know, and I don't get what I believe about hell or anything else from movies or music lyrics or Hollywood or whatever. You know, I said I get it from the Bible. But even before I had a chance to say that, it was kind of interesting. One of the other guys piped up and said, that's Hollywood, man. So it was kind of interesting. And the guy that said that, I don't even think is a Christian. He doesn't have any kind of a testimony. But it's kind of interesting how even one of them piped up, you know, with that kind of a response. But we're living in some perilous times. We're living in some perilous times. And, you know, as we look down through here, I mean, there's this long list here. Our emphasis is not on this list, but on the verses that that follow. But the point is, it can easily get us depressed. It can easily get us to the point where we lose our focus. Where we get off in the wrong things ourselves. Where we think, what's the use? You know, what good is it, you know, to keep on going? I mean, we see every one of these all around us. We see every one of these all around us. We ended there in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And then the last part of the verse, from such turn away. And what I'd like us to think about this morning in these few moments is, what do we do when times are like this? When it's perilous times, you know, when it's dangerous times, when people, when there's many, many people around us that are not standing for anything. And then there's many, many more that are standing for something, but it's wrong. And it's a rough situation. But what do we do? Well, the first thing is, the last part of the verse there, from such turn away. You know, we need to take a stand and be separate. Now, that doesn't mean that we have nothing to do with unbelievers. Last night, I was taking a walk. By the way, the sky was pretty again last night when I was walking. A little bit later last night than it was last Saturday night. A little different sky, but it was beautiful. I don't remember the colors. I just know it was nice. But I got real close to home, and this little dog, about yay tall, is out by the road, and I know what he's going to do if I keep walking. He's going to follow me. And so it's right the house next to us, which is, you know, 200 yards away or how many ever 100 yards away it is. But so I just started walking up the driveway trying to bring the dog because I saw the owner up there. And I don't think I'd ever met him, really. So I went up, shook his hand, you know, and I thought, I need to find out this guy's name. I need to start praying for him because I don't know who he is at all. I think they came one time to our house because their dog ran into our yard. And I might have learned his name then, but just slipped my mind. So I'm like, I need to talk to him, find out a little bit about him, take this opportunity. The dog by the road was not an accident. It was an opportunity because the dog wasn't going back by himself. So I talked to the guy a little bit and got his name, and I need to write it down before I forget it. But, you know, we need to make contact with people, you know, obviously in the right settings, but we need to separate from the apostasy, from the false teaching. Not many are preaching that these days. You know, we don't hear it a whole lot. But we have to take a stand for what's right. Because if we don't take a stand for what's right, then they're going to think that we believe just like everybody else, that you can get to heaven however you feel like, whatever path to God you think you need to take, it's fine to get there, and it's not. And so we need to separate. And really to do that, it's despised. People despise that. To take a stand and separate from, or to take a stand and proclaim that, you know what, this is not the right way to God. You can't get there by your good works, and you can't get there by baptism. One guy at the sheriff's camp, he came out, we started talking about you can't get to heaven by baptism, and he never came back. I wasn't grumpy. I didn't raise my voice. I just said, you know, the scripture's really clear, just in a calm voice. He never came back. I don't know if he left, if he got offended, I don't know what, but he just didn't come back. Well, if I don't make that statement, his blood's on my hands, but not telling him the truth. And so I needed to tell him the truth, and that's what I did. And that's very important. And then verse 6 here, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We see that all over. We see that all over. If it's just the person that refuses a tract that we're trying to give them, if it's people we're trying to talk to door to door, talk to our neighbors, any kind of proclamation of truth, people resist it. I gave a tract one day to somebody, and you don't want to read too much into the look on somebody's face, but you know, sometimes I wonder, do they just take it not because they don't want to be rude, you know, but then what happens to it next? Well, you know, if the track even ends up in the garbage can, God could use it because the bag could break open and the track could fall on the ground and somebody could pick it up. Or the garbage guy might find it. Or the guy working at the dump, when the bag gets broken open at the dump, could find it. You just never know. You just never know what might happen. And so even if we give it to somebody and we walk back later and we notice that they put it in the garbage can, that's okay because we've done our part. But people resist the truth. They resist it. They don't want to hear it. You know, we got to be careful that in that kind of environment, that we don't develop that kind of hardness toward truth. You know, that we stay humble, that we make a decision to have a broken and a contrite heart and spirit, that God can teach us, that God can teach us. Then verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You know, and this is Paul writing to Timothy. Paul's saying, Timothy, you've known my doctrine. You've known my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. That's a long list of things that Timothy was aware of. He knew about Paul's life. He knew how Paul responded in the face of adversity. He knew how Paul had responded. I mean, Paul was stoned and left for dead. And maybe even did die. But God saw to it that he could continue on. But Timothy knew about all that. You know, and we need to share that with our families, with those that were trying to help along in the faith. Life's not easy. Life is not easy. Our children need to make sure, you know, we need to make sure our children know that. Life is hard. There's tough decisions to make. There's tough stands to take. And sometimes people don't like us. Just because we want to do what God wants, and we want to follow the truth. But even then, we've got to do the truth. We've got to know it and put it into practice. So verse 11, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And that's true for each one of us. The struggles and the difficulties and the hard times and the disappointments and the discouragements and anything that gets us down, God's gonna bring us through. God is going to bring us through. And we need to be observant. We need to be observant. What I mean by that is we need to have others around us that we're following their faith not their faith, but you know what I'm saying? We're following their example of how they handle things by faith. We need our own faith, obviously. But the point is, we see other people in the faith that they have through the struggles, and that gives us courage. You know, that helps us in our struggle. Could be financial needs. It could be physical needs. Obviously, spiritual needs. Not a one in here that doesn't have those. But we see how other people deal with stuff, and hopefully it'll encourage us, excuse me, and it will help us through those times. It'll help us through those times. Let's turn to Romans 15. Hold your place here. Lord willing, we're going to come back here. 2 Timothy 3, but let's turn to Romans 15. Romans 15. And we need to see, too, that we gain that from reading our Bibles. The struggles that people in the Bible had and how they came through them, how they endured, how they... Well, let's just be honest, how they struggled, but yet they kept on. You know, we need to see that example. Romans 15 and verse 4, Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We can lose hope. And it might not be hope altogether. It might not be that we think, okay, I just want to give up on everything. I mean, generally, it takes quite a big cloud this morning. It seemed like 1 minute it was kind of over. Well, it was raining, and then it stopped raining. It was just kind of overcast. Went into the bathroom, and then came out, and it was black. And I was like, whoa, what happened? And you know, just like storm clouds can roll in that quickly, here, you know, in rain and so forth, they can roll into our hearts. They can roll into our minds. And they can totally cloud over our judgment. Totally cloud over our perspective, our attitude. And it can be something that, it might not be like our whole life every area of our life or every relationship in our life, but it might just be one area where maybe we've lost hope. You know, maybe we've lost hope that so-and-so is going to ever get saved. You know, maybe we've lost hope that, you know what, this circumstance is just never going to change. And it depresses us. It discourages us. Or this situation's never going to change. I don't know if it was like a year and a half ago. I had a little work done on my right knee. My right knee now feels great. Now my left knee's bothering me. Went to the doctor. They don't think there's anything wrong with it. So I'm just trying to have patience. But, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, and I was hoping, you know, maybe I was going to be able to start exercising a little bit more vigorously. Well, my knee's not letting me. So I'm just trying to take my walks and so forth. But if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, but we need to make sure that we're not losing hope. And if we are, we need to know that the scriptures are going to help us have hope. But a part of having hope is also what it says before that. They were written for our learning that we, through patience, situations don't always change quickly. Situations don't always change at all. But we can have comfort to know that it's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be this way. But whatever it is that we're struggling with, there's always hope. Because, you know, as we've been hearing about that the rapture, we shouldn't be have a date set for it, but there's going to be a rapture. That's the thing to take to heart. When is it? We don't know. Will there be one? Yes, for sure. And we need to realize that if we've died before that, or if we haven't at that day, it's going to be glorious. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. End of the verse there in verse 11. He talks about enduring. That's sometimes, we got to get into the enduring mode sometimes. We got to get into the enduring mode. Sometimes we have to endure pain that there's not really anything can take care of. You know, it's just there. And sometimes it's a pain in our heart. It's not really physical pain. But we have to have a mindset that we are going to endure. We're going to endure. There's going to be hard times. Well, we just read in verse 1, perilous times shall come. They're here. But we've got to endure. We've got to make sure that we realize, verse 12a, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We have to have a mindset that says, God is going to help me through. Not I'm going to make it. Because then the emphasis is on me or you. Not I'm going to make it. Not things are going to get better, because they may never get better. But God will help us through. But we have to have that attitude of enduring through the persecution. Let's turn over to Hebrews and chapter 12. Hold your place there again, please, in 2 Timothy 3. But in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, we'll start in verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We see patience again. And this is a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. We have to run the race with patience. And we have to run our race. You know, coaching track, you know, you deal a little bit different with sprinters than you do with distance people. You know, with a sprint, you don't say, okay, pace yourself. The distance people, they got to pace themselves. If they try to run it like a 100-yard dash, it's not going to work. And just like they've got to run their race, we've got to run ours. The race I have is not the same as what you have. The struggles I have aren't the same as what you have. Hopefully you don't have problems with your left knee, but maybe it's a different part. But with the race, we each have our own race that God's called us to, and we have to be faithful to run it with patience. And here's the key, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. The whole time we got to look to Jesus. The whole time. If we take our eyes off him for a moment, then we're not living by faith anymore. We must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, there's an end to this. There is an end to our faith. In whatever it is that might be getting us down or whatever it is that might be distracting us, there's an end to it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. If we ever think that what we're enduring is unbearable, we just need to go back into the Gospels and read those accounts of what Jesus endured. And look at that. And think about that. Because you know what? It's nowhere near what we're enduring. It's nowhere near it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him, think about him, dwell on him and what he's done and what he continues to do and what he wants to do day by day. Consider it, think about it, mull it over, meditate upon it. Because you know what happens a lot of times is we have a trial or a struggle or a difficulty, and that kind of takes over our mind. You know, it could be a problem at work. There's a lot of different places where the struggle could be. But that kind of takes our mind over. And we think about that, and we think about that, and we think about that. And before we know it, it's like, hey, wait a minute. What's the Lord think about this? What's the Lord think? How does he want me to handle this? And we all know there's always a scripture, wherever we are or whatever we're thinking on, to help get our focus on how the Lord wants. Consider him. Consider Jesus. See clearly from the scripture. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It's hard to endure. It's a struggle. Sometimes it's a physical issue. Sometimes it's a mental thing. Sometimes it's an issue of the heart. Where, okay, maybe I've been hurt, somebody disappointed me, but what am I going to do? How am I going to handle that? And through that, let's go back to 2 Timothy 3, and through that, we still have to stay focused. I mean, we have to take every thought captive. Every thought. Because the next thought we don't could end up taking us someplace we don't want to go. Let's see. So in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We got to be determined, no matter what the difficulty, that we're gonna set ourselves on the Scripture and on the Lord to do what's right. And then verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So even though in verse 1 it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, it's not enough to know that it's going to be bad. It's that when it's bad, it's going to get worse. Because it says here in verse 13, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. Which means more and more people are going to be deceived, which means it's going to be more and more difficult to carry out the mission the Lord has given to us. Because less and less people are going to be receptive. Less and less people are going to listen. But see, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus did not give us the job of building the church. He said he will build the church. He is going to build the church. But over in chapter 4, verse 2, that's our responsibility, which is preach the word. Preach the word. We've already discussed at a previous time about how when we get things out of order, or when we get our role mixed up with what Jesus' role is, we do some things we shouldn't as far as what we do in the church. You know, carnivals, and it's not our job to draw people in. We don't need a cookie. You know, we don't need a giveaway. We need to preach the word, and Jesus himself said that he will build the church. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We have to continue in what we've learned And we have to be sure of what we've learned. When we have struggles, that's when we really know where our faith rests. Is it resting in temporal things, or is it resting in heavenly things, in eternal things? Let's look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, in verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. If you then be risen with Christ, which we all are seated in the heavenlies, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Our mind should be on things that are above. Our hearts, our will, our motivation, our desire is for those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say again unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We need to seek the heavenly. We need to seek the eternal. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 14, continuing in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that's a big key too. Knowing who we learn things from. Having, you know, knowing the character, knowing the scriptural basis that's used. It's not storytelling. It's scripture. Because that's the only thing that we can hang on to. We can't hang on to stories. I mean, we need good illustrations, obviously. Those help us remember things. I'm not discounting that. But the point is, if we don't have the scripture, we don't have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if we don't have that scripture, we don't have anything to have faith in. So it's got to be the things we've learned, those we've learned them from, and how there's a scriptural basis for it all, and to hang on to that sound doctrine, to abide in it, to not turn back from it. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The next thing we need to have is confidence, not in ourselves, but in the scripture, in the word of God. The word of God is perfect itself. If we don't have that certainty, a lot of this is not really going to work for us. But we know it is, because the word of God says it is. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. James 1 talks about the perfect law of liberty. It's perfect. Something imperfect can't make something else perfect. And that's why we know the word of God is perfect, because it may, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. But we've got to cooperate, that God can make us perfect. You know, in our responses, in our words, in our thoughts. But we've got to have confidence in the word of God. You know, last week we talked about temptation. God wants us to escape, but we've got to take the way. We've got to take the way. And then verse 2 again of chapter 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So chapter 3, verse 1, perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 3 of chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. We see it happening all around us. Perilous times are here. Seducers are waxing worse and worse. We see that people are turning away their ears from the truth unto fables. They don't have a sure word of God. And if they don't have that, you know, out at the sheriff's camp, you know, I like this one because it's easier to read. I understand it better. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And how many guys that have use whatever version they like better, that they can understand better, are rooted in anything when they leave. What are they rooted in? Well, number one, they think it's easier to understand, but probably 101 out of 100 times it has a different meaning. Because, you know, they to make it easier to understand, the meaning's lost in many instances. But we've got to have some confidence in the Word of God, and we've got to have confidence in spite of perilous times coming, in spite of evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, in spite of, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, in spite of that. You know, we need to be tender-hearted, so that as the world gets worse and worse, as it gets harder and harder to preach, As it seems the response gets less and less, we can still have that humility that God might use us. Because that's the only way God's going to use us. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And so we've got to have that humility that in spite of all this that's going on, we can be faithful and God can still use us. Now, we might think, well, wait a minute, how's he using me? People aren't getting saved, this ain't happening. He's using us just by us being faithful. And it's the responsibility of the person themselves to turn and get saved. It's the responsibility of the person themselves to turn to the truth and believe it and walk in it. But in spite of all this, I mean, we see it all around us. It's not getting any easier. We've got to have confidence in the Word of God and just continue in it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and goodness, and we do thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. And Lord, just pray that you'd work in each heart, God, that we would see where our confidence lies, Lord, and just reaffirm and redirect ourselves toward having the confidence in your word, and Lord, in putting it into practice. And Father, whatever seems to be standing in the way, Lord, that you'd make that evident, and that each one of us, Lord, would just have a renewed humility to let you work through us. Just give us those scriptures we need, Lord, to continue to be faithful for you. And just pray for your continued blessing in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.